Welcome back. It's the Country Viewpoint Market Friday edition here on Flow FM, your colour of country life. And it's great to once again be joined on the Country Viewpoint by Dr. Joe Sillance, the CEO of the Australian Chicken Growers Council. Good afternoon, Dr. Sillance. How are you?
Yeah, all good here. And I hope it's all good there too.
All good here. Thank you. You've spent some time this week at an industry-wide avian influenza conference. We've pretty much stopped the spread of the local avian influenza that consumed a few farms in Victoria, New South Wales and the ACT. But there is, of course, the threat of the Antarctic strain and the strain that's killing some animals and especially birds all over the world. Joe, what did you pick up from that industry-wide conference?
Well, look, there's a few things. The first is that H5N1, which is the nasty one, is a wildlife crisis. It's spreading in wildlife, it's coming out of wildlife, it's killing wildlife, and we've got a lot of very delicate species in Australia that we need to be very worried about. And that means that the poultry industries, plural, egg, meat and turkey, are planning on how to manage it in their flocks, because we're going to get it out of wildlife, but we don't want to give it back to wildlife. So the planning has been absolutely huge.
What's the state of our preparation in Australia? I'm sure there was a lot of discussion on that at the conference. Do you get the sense that we are prepared, or is there work to be done?
Oh, there's always work to be done. You can never be prepared enough. Look, we had the chief veterinary officers of every state and most territories in the room. And I think the thing that was the most obvious takeout is that nobody in the room, and in particular state governments, have their heads around the sheer size of what we're facing if it really gets in and goes ballistic. I mean, H5N1, which is the nasty one, has a reproductive rate of 13. So that technically means that in one day, one chook can infect 13 chooks, or one penguin can infect 13 penguins if you're dealing with the wildlife. And that means that if it gets in, we've got to deal with it faster than we've dealt with anything else we've dealt with before ever. This thing has twice the transmissibility of COVID. It will go twice as fast as COVID. And COVID was bad enough. So, yeah, I don't think anybody's got a handle on, you know, what do you do with 7,000 B doubles worth of contaminated litter and manure? And look, there's messages here for the large animal industries too. And it won't be HPAI, obviously, but if it was foot and mouth, you know, how would we deal with the death of 3 million cattle in two weeks? What would we do with them all? And the other big hole that came out of it is environmental protection agencies are missing in action on this one. They were not at the planning meeting. They are not interested in helping us plan. We are having enormous difficulty even contacting anyone from any EPA in any state who is willing to do this planning with us. And believe you me, we are.
And for the time being, this isn't if. We don't want to scare anyone into thinking that, you know, this is going to hit Australian shores any day now or anything like that. But even as a big if, it's so important for the industry to be prepared. And like you said, it's not just the chicken and egg industry that could cop something like this. It could be anything across agriculture. Do you feel like there can be practices put in place or I suppose procedures put in place to help the industry prepare? Or, yeah, how long do you feel like that process could take?
In the poultry industry, there's quite a lot of it being done by the industry now because we're sick of waiting, okay? And governments are catching up a little bit. But look, things happen in Australia. We've had red fire ants, we've had varroa mite, things happen. And it doesn't really matter if or when. It might be lumpy skin disease, it might be swine fever. We've got to be prepared, and the level of preparedness is way lower than it should be. I mean, when you've got people running around worrying about budgets instead of worrying about getting farmers back into business, then things are very, very wrong. And so even at that priority setting level, we've got some issues that should have been dealt with 20 years ago and still haven't been dealt with.
And of course, with procedures not being in place and the industry not being adequately prepared, I would imagine that would lead to, should something happen, a severe shortage of chicken meat and eggs.
Look, and that's what you're working to prevent. Okay, so if you know that one infected farm, and this applies to cattle farms as well, if you know that one infected farm can infect another 13 farms in just a day, you want to have the infected farm cleaned up quick, and you don't want to be tripping over paperwork, and you don't want to be tripping over budgets, and you don't want to be tripping over risk assessments. That should all have been done in advance. Now, in terms of food shortage, if this can be managed quickly, as it was in Victoria, then, yeah, food shortages will be none to minimal. But that was only 8 farms. So industry is now taking the lead and doing quite a lot of the planning itself, which on one hand you can argue it shouldn't have to do, but it's going to do it anyway. But there's messages there for every other industry, plant and animal.
Dr. Jo Sillance from the Australian Chicken Growers Council, always great to have you on the Country Viewpoint. Thanks very much for your time. Have a great weekend and we'll catch you next Friday.
Good to be with you. See ya. Bye.